Fed Chair Janet Yellen is back in the hot seat today. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Amy Scott in for David Brancaccio. Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen's testimony before the Senate Banking Committee is underway this hour. Appearing before the House yesterday, Yellen signaled the Fed could slow down interest rate increases. Jay Bryson is Managing Director and Global Economist at Wells Fargo Securities and joins me now. So, Jay, the markets seem to like what Yellen had to say yesterday. Are you expecting more of the same in the Senate today?
Her prepared remarks shouldn't change at all. I mean, she may get some different sort of questions than she got in the House yesterday. But, you know, in general, I would expect that her message would, you know, would still be the same.
And basically, the markets read this as, don't worry, interest rates are only going to rise gradually and maybe not even for that long.
She did say that, you know, the Fed thinks that rates do have to go up a little bit higher, but she also signaled that any sort of rate increases that you see going forward should remain gradual until they have to get to the so-called neutral rate, where it doesn't stimulate the economy nor slow it down. They don't think that's really that far off as well. At a gradual sort of pace, it may take us another year or two to get there.
So Yellen wants to see slightly higher inflation, right? Where are we with that? We've got some new data on producer prices today.
In terms of the producer prices, if you look at the year-over-year sort of rate here, if you look at both the headline and if you look at the so-called core, both of those are running about 2%. So 2% is relatively low sorts of levels of inflation.
And we're expecting the consumer price numbers tomorrow?
The expectation is the year-over-year rate of CPI inflation should be about 1.7, 1.8. So it's still a little bit below where the Fed would like it to see at 2%. But it, you know, it has come up from where it has been about a year ago or so.
Jay Bryson with Wells Fargo Securities. Thanks.
Thanks, Amy.
The House is expected to vote on the National Defense Authorization Act this week. It authorizes around $700 billion for the Pentagon for fiscal year 2018. And as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports, it's one of the most popular bills in Congress. Here's why.
The National Defense Authorization Act is one of the few bills that passes every year, so it gets loaded down with lawmakers' pet projects. Mandy Smithberger directs the Strauss Military Reform Project.
Every single military service ended up getting more than what the Pentagon had initially requested for them in the budget.
The Navy could get 5 ships more than it requested. The Air Force would get extra fighter jets. Smithberger says those ships and planes are made in the U.S., and lawmakers
want to increase defense spending to use it as a jobs program for their districts.
But Catherine Blakely of the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments says Congress is giving the Pentagon extra stuff because there's a feeling
that we have been under-resourcing defense while the threat situation has changed and evolved and become more challenging.
Another threat? The math. The defense authorization bill busts the spending caps Congress agreed to. If those caps aren't raised, the Pentagon will face automatic budget cuts. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Amazon is a company that does pretty much everything these days. That includes lending money to the small businesses that sell their products through the site. And it's lending more than ever recently, with $1 billion in loans over the past year. Amazon makes money on the interest payments, of course, but it also gets a slice of the extra sales those loans help generate. So what's in it for borrowers? Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
Peter Pajitnov's stock of about 15,000 specialty light bulbs is currently sitting in an Amazon warehouse. His business, Bulb Nanny, does $250,000 in sales each year, mostly on Amazon. A few years ago, Amazon asked Pajitnov if he wanted to borrow money from the company, too.
They knew exactly how much I was withdrawing every 2 weeks through their system, and their amount that they offered me was very much based on those volumes.
He borrowed $1,000 and eventually the $19,000 he needed to buy out a competitor. The loan application was a page long.
It took less than a minute, probably, to finally pull the trigger and get it, and it was as easy as that.
Bulb Nanny is one of more than 20,000 small businesses that have borrowed from Amazon. A company spokesman highlighted the program in a 2014 video.
Instead of going to a bank, having interviews, audited financial statements, a three-week process, and then getting, you know, only a small fraction of people get approved, our process is literally three fields and three clicks.
Amazon has a lot of real-time data on its sellers' businesses. Gil Luria at D.A. Davidson says that's a huge advantage.
That gives them a lot of very good information about who to lend money to and where they will get the best return on that.
Amazon's loan program is invite-only, so the company can cherry-pick borrowers. Amazon collects interest on those loans.
They also get the benefit of sellers being able to sell more on Amazon.
Still, Luria says it's always risky to lend money to small businesses.
The rates that Amazon charges are quite high, and that's because of that risk.
Peter Pajitnov was charged between 12 and 14% interest on his loans. That's one reason he says Bulb Nanny hasn't borrowed from Amazon since. Another reason?
All of my inventory sitting at the warehouse would have been at risk for pretty much instant repossession if they needed to go after me.
Pajitnov says for now, he'll use his business credit cards for capital. And Amazon for everything else. In Los Angeles, I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
More on the day's business news is at marketplace.org. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.